Amen. You may be seated. Get your Bibles out. 1 Samuel 14. Last week I preached part one of this. I'll quickly review and then we'll jump into part two tonight. We're talking about living peaceably with followers. 1 Samuel chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 4 through about 14 to you again. So once you get there, just follow along. I'll kind of tell you what verse I'm on if you're behind me, because I'm going to jump in quick here. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinah. And the forefront of the one was situate northward against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah, verse 6. And Jonathan said unto the young man that bare armor, "Come, let us go over into the garrison to the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, 'Tarry until we come to you,' then we will stand in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, 'Come up unto us,' then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves in the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come out of the holes where they had hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, "Come up, come after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer and slew after him. The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Now, again, let me review very quickly. This is a strange passage to some, but as I said last week, it is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. David and Jonathan were friends. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. But watch this. Jonathan was a much older man than King David, probably in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 years older. You have to understand, this is 1 Samuel chapter 14. David hasn't even been born yet, and Jonathan is already a soldier. David isn't born until chapter 16. Actually, the latter part of chapter 15. So, oops, just kicked over a bottle of water in my pulpit here. All right, there we go. The lid was on, don't worry. Jonathan was a man of principle. Saul wanted Jonathan to be the next king, but Saul disobeyed God, and Jonathan lost his ability because of his father, but Jonathan was good with it and was willing to follow King David. Now, while the king sat miles away, Saul was afraid of the Philistines, always has been. He never did get along with them. He was just afraid of the Philistines. Jonathan, the warrior, goes to battle, and he tells his armor bearer, he said, "Look, go with me. We're going to go up on this hill, and we're going to fight those guys. God can save by many or by few." I love that kind of faith. Amen. That's a man with some grit right there. And he says something very interesting. He said, "Look, if they say this, we'll stand in our place and we'll fight. But if they say, 'Come up hither,'" he said, "we're going after them. We're going to whoop them." He said, "No problem. I'll go with you." Here's the thing. The armor bearer was supposed to go before Jonathan. When they said, "Come up hither and we'll show you a thing," Jonathan said, "We're going to show you something you ain't seen, never seen yet before. And it's going to be the Lord." Amen. And the Bible says that he looked at his armor bearer and said, "Come up after me." He said, "I'll go before you and fight. You take care of what falls beside behind me." They went up and they killed 20 men in the distance of a half acre, which is approximately from here to the shed, about the distance of our parking lot, about a half acre. Now, Jonathan shows not only great patriotism, but great leadership. And let me say this, much is said about followers following, but very little is said about leaders leading followers. Much is said about how a follower should be a good follower to a leader, but little is said, in most cases in our world, how leaders should treat followers. God has some things to say about it. Let me say right here, not everybody is the same kind of leader. Everybody has a different style of administration. Everybody has a different style of organization. I organize my files differently than Mrs. Barnes would organize her files. Now, when she organizes my files, she organizes them the way I need them organized. But if I need to get something and she's not here and I call, she'll tell me exactly where something is. It doesn't make sense to me, but guess what? Doesn't have to. I don't work with it every day. She does. You know what I'm talking about. You save things on your computer. Some of you have something that's very logical to you and nobody else could find where it's at. You say, why? Because you organize differently. It doesn't mean one is right and one is wrong. It just means there are different styles of leadership. Now, not everybody leads the same way. It is never right for a follower to hold a leader's style against him. Let me say that right now. I have not always agreed with the style of leadership for the leaders I've had, but I've always respected the leader I had and did what he wanted. Everybody doing okay? You say, why? Because it wasn't my work, it was theirs. If you don't own the company and you're not the boss, guess what? You're supposed to do it the boss's way and keep your mouth shut whether you like it or not. But I could do it so much better. Then you go spend your money, start your business, and do it better. Until then, what's the old statement? Shut up, you face. You got to realize that success and failure goes to the leader because that's what the leader's job is. Now, last week I gave you three things. Let me review them very quickly and I'm going to jump into new material. Number one, the leader should give the same loyalty to the follower that he expects from the follower. Loyalty is a two-way street. Loyalty means this. I am to be as loyal to Joe Lopez as I hope and as I know that Joe Lopez is to me. Why should I expect him to be loyal to me and I go behind his back telling everybody how bad he is? That's wicked as the devil. See, the leader ought to be as loyal to the follower as the follower is to the leader. Number two, leaders should accept followers as an equal, not positionally, but as a human being. Did you know that there is no disgrace in being a follower? Did you know there is no reverence to being the leader? It just means you have different jobs. That is the only difference. Brother Josh is our assistant pastor. Guess what? He's my equal also. Unless we're playing golf. And then I whooped him yesterday. No. Anyway, he's whining and complaining. He said he worked out too hard on Monday. And then he wants to use that for an excuse. Anyway, I'm going to pay for this one of these days. You wait. First time he beats me, it's all over. I'll be 80 years old, but it'll be all right. You see, we're supposed to be equals. Just because I have the title pastor doesn't make me more of a person than him. Just because you have a position doesn't mean that you're great and everybody else is trash. And if you view life that way, guess what? You have a perverted view of life. Matter of fact, Jesus said the greatest is the servant. Number three, all of us should purposely follow in some area. all of us should purposely follow in some area. I put myself in subjection to the leadership of those who lead under me. Brother Joe, have I ever come to you and told you how to run junior church? And yet when I'm walking through to junior church, Brother Joe's showing all kinds of loyalty to his preacher, but I would never just break in. I'd never say, well, look, I'm the pastor. You're going to do it my way or else. Oh, no, 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 no. He's doing a far better job than I would back there. Have him. I'll go visit from time to time. But you say, why? Because he's my leader in that area. Brother Josh has taken over the music, and he's grabbing a hold of this thing, and he's got the pedal to the metal. And by the way, I back him with it. You don't have to worry about it. But if I ever get involved in special music, guess what? He'll be my leader. It will be real special, that's for sure. But anyway, we ought to purposely follow. For instance, if he has youth activities, I may show up to one sometime, but I'm not going to be the leader he is. He will be leading the teenagers. He'll be leading the activity. That's his area of rule. Now, I still oversee it. That's true. But in front of everybody, he's the leader. I'm the follower at that point in time. That's the way it's supposed to be. When Brother Matt Smith was here and held the CCW class, he was the leader. I was the follower. I had no problem with that role. Didn't bother me a bit. Say, why? Because I needed the class too. But he was in charge. You see, sometimes you have to purposely put yourself in a place of fellowship. Everybody understand that? Now we're going to hit new material. You ready? Number four, the leader should try to learn the needs of each follower. The leader should try to learn the needs of each follower. Everybody look at me for a second. If you are a leader, that means somebody thought you should know more and have more ability than somebody else. So if you know more and you have more ability, guess what? You ought to be learning the needs of those that don't know what you know so that you can help them learn what you know so that they can produce more. Amen. It is my job to learn his needs. It's my job to learn his needs. It's my job to learn Brother Randy's needs. You say, why? Because that's what a leader does. It's my job to find out, Miss Wally, when somebody is sick. It's my job to know when somebody's had surgery and how they're doing and what do they need thereafter. When somebody's got back issues, and I won't point a finger, because I'd have to point several of them at this moment. I can think of three people in the room at the moment with it. So the leader has access to knowledge and power that others don't have. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you ought to write it down. It is not the follower's job to meet needs. It's the leader's job to meet needs. It is not the job of the assistant pastor to meet my needs. It is my job to meet his needs. Everybody understand that? It's not my wife's job to meet my needs. It's my job to meet her needs. I'm the leader. I am to be there to meet the follower's needs. Listen to this statement. This is in a work situation for the most part. It's the follower's job to carry out the orders. It's the leader's job to meet the needs. I won't tell you who. There's a person in this room right now, heard the lesson last week, struggles with somebody at work. I made the very statement to that person last Thursday morning. I said, you're trying to please, just produce. Quit worrying about if somebody's pleased or not and just produce. Your job is to carry out the orders, not to care about whether the person above you cares about you. Just carry out the orders. Well, that's so cold. It might be cold, but that's what the job work world is. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. The wise leader will serve the needs of the followers in order for them to carry out the orders better. Did you know if I keep everybody healthy, we get more done? Do you know if I can meet your needs spiritually and emotionally and in counsel and in this area and in that area, we keep this thing going stronger because we're all stronger. So it's my job to find out what the need is. You say, well, I just don't want to unload on you, preacher. That's my job. And I do it okay. I handle the load. Don't worry about it. I've shoveled enough stuff that we're okay. I can handle it. You're not going to bog me down. Trust me. There's not enough people here to bog me down. I got more energy than all of you put together, usually. You see, the wise leader will seek out the needs of everybody, take care of it before it gets too out of hand. It's called preventive maintenance. You don't wait to change the oil in your car to when the oil light comes on and the engine's going. Bad time to decide to check the oil. Okay? Long time before then, keep track of the mileage. When does it need an oil change? When does it need this done? Say, why is that? Because if you do that on a regular basis, yes, it takes a little bit of time. Yes, it takes a little bit of money. But about $30 or $40 to change your oil compared to about $4,000 or $5,000 for new engine and transmission is a whole lot cheaper. Amen, fellas? All right. Followers are not slaves. Followers are not to be ordered about to do whatever the leader wants them to do. They're there to help you as an extension of what you are. Listen to this. A wise leader will do his best to meet every possible need of his followers. He's the one that has the wherewithal to do it. Stand up here for a second. I love and respect him in the ministry. That's why I hired him. But he's got 5 years in the ministry. I got 30. Who do you think can meet the needs a little better? Him or me? How many funerals have you preached?
None.
I've preached more than I can count. You see, how many weddings have you done?
None.
You're better off. I have some that are mad at me for doing it. Anyway, you see where I'm going with this? It's my job to meet his needs and train him how to do those things. So that someday down the road, if God wants him to pastor, guess what? He'll be ready. You see, it's my job to meet his needs. I know how to better. Not because I'm smarter, though I am. Not because I'm better looking, though I am. You know, see. You say, why, preacher? Because I've been at this a long time. I should, as the leader, know more than he knows. Not because of intelligence, but because of experience. I'm the one that has the wherewithal to meet that need. Guess what? If I teach him those things and I keep him healthy, I foresee a battle, say you're about to face a battle, and I think it can help you either avoid it or make it lighter. Up to you. What do you need? This is how we're going to do it. Okay. Huh, that was pretty slick. Yeah, I've been down that road. You don't want to fight that battle. Say, what is that? Teaching him how to be strong. You see, it's meeting the need. That's what my job is. That's what your job as a leader is. Fellas, that's what our job is for our wives. Moms and dads, that's what our job is with our children. It is to meet their needs. Now, when they look at you at graduation and say, I need a brand new car, guess what? There's a far difference between need and want. And I'm just going to stop right there. I gotta move on here. Number five, you ready? The leader should get ideas from the... A good leader will get ideas from the followers. A good leader will get ideas from a follower. A good leader is an idea person. Where was I? I was at youth conference last March. While I was there, I saw something. I took pictures of it. And I remembered something my wife said just in the last week or so. And I was thinking about it this afternoon. I wrote myself a note and said, pull out that picture, show it to my wife, and see if we need to do this in a certain area that she helps me with. Say, what was it? I was gathering ideas. You see, I may not need it then, but there's going to be a day I might need it. While I was preaching in Illinois, I was dealing with a pastor in a situation. We had to put the stupid signs on our bathroom doors. I hate it, but it was a good idea. I don't like it, but it was the idea I needed to save us from a battle. No problem. Everybody doing all right? A good leader doesn't need the credit for the idea. He just needs the idea to build on it. I don't care who gets the credit for it. And there's a lot of times I'll push credit around and let somebody else succeed, and I'm happy with that. I don't need the credit. For instance, let me show you what I mean. A good leader may only get one part of an idea, but it opens up the door to many ideas. Ladies, our blessing board. Our blessing board is a combination of three people's ideas. I sat down and said, we were doing it a certain way, and it was okay, but it wasn't succeeding like I wanted it to succeed. It just didn't have the oomph it needed. It was an old idea. It was wore out. It was getting very elitist, and I just didn't like it anymore. I said, we need to change it. So one of us, there was three of us sitting in a meeting. I brought up something. Somebody else brought something up. Somebody else brought something up. Somebody else brought something up. And we just start throwing ideas out. Well, then we got this idea of just drawing names. Then we got the idea of putting it on a board. And then we got the idea of what we have today. Say, why was it? Because I was listening to followers. It was me and two other ladies working on it. I just wanted it to be different and better. Not something that you feel locked into. You can do it if you want to. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. It was that simple. And that was the idea that came out of three different people putting their heads together, coming up with an idea. Everybody doing okay? That's called listening to your followers. Did you know I've never pulled a name off that board for myself? I've never bought a gift for any of you ladies. I've never gotten one. Nor do I want one. Can I tell you something? It didn't matter to me personally. What's it going to do for our church and our church spirit, for our ladies? And I wanted the best idea we could get with it. And I could go on and on and on and on. I won't, but we'll go from there. But a good leader should get ideas from his follower. I'm constantly asking ideas of people. I'm constantly looking for ideas. I have pastor friends that'll say something or show me something. I'm thinking, I could use that. Ooh, buddy, I could use that. And I've done it. Say, why? Because it works. Why not borrow it? Adapt it for what we need and go forward. Too many people are trying to reinvent the wheel. The wheel still works as it is. It doesn't work rectangle. It doesn't work as a triangle. It doesn't work as a square. And it doesn't even work as an oval. You got to have it round. No matter how many ways you try it, it won't work the other ways. Why reinvent the wheel? Number six, I've got number six and number seven, and then I'll be done. But don't put your shoes on yet. Number six, the leader should give strength to the followers. The leader should give strength to the followers. I don't know how else to say this. Let's use parents and children. As a child obeys, it helps the parent be a better parent. As the child disobeys, it's harder for the parent to be a good parent. As the employee obeys the employer, you make the employer a better employer. We have this thing backwards in America today. We think it's all about the child. Wrong answer. I hate to disappoint everybody in the room, but life is not about the child. I used to tell my daughter all the time, "You don't love me." "Yes, I do." "No, you don't. One of these days you're going to grow up and find some toe-headed idiot and marry him and leave me." "No, I'm going to marry you, Dad." And guess what? She's engaged to some toe-headed idiot, and she's going to leave me one of these days. Now, wait a minute. I was right. Now, she still loves me. "I love you more, Dad." "No, you don't." She said, "I've loved you my whole life." I said, "I loved you before you were born." That's not fair. Now, wait a minute. But my life is not wrapped up in my children. Guess what? There's more to life than just my children. If that were true, well, I got to keep going here. I got to hurry. As leaders succeed, they get stronger. As leaders succeed, they get stronger. The leader should then share his strength with followers in strength and in security. Did you know as our church grows, I get to be a better leader? But I also get to help you get stronger and be better leaders. Brother Joe, 10 years ago, somebody would have said, "You're going to be the premier junior church leader in America." You and I both would have laughed at him. I'm not kidding. And I'm not making fun of Joe. That's just a fact. Now, Joe and I go way back, 30 plus years. I mean, long time ago. He still didn't have hair back then, but no, you didn't. You just could comb it over then. You don't even have enough to comb over now. Now, wait a minute. Nobody knew 30 years ago where either of us would be, Brother Joe. I've been Brother Joe's boss off and on probably for about 20 of the last 30 years. I'm not his boss. But man, you talk about a guy that's excelling. Please don't take this the wrong way. As I've grown as a leader, I've given him strength. That strength has carried him not just in junior church, but in the workplace too. See, that's what the job is. As the leader succeeds, he gives strength and security to the followers. As I grew as a parent, I was able to give my children strength. Young people, listen to me. You tired of the way mom and dad treat you? Then why don't you start obeying so they can be better parents? You are forcing them to look like a bad parent when they're not. The bad parent won't discipline you. The good parent will. This, I only, free range chickens, free range children. That's as unbiblical as it gets. Let me tell you. Folks, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice it says obey your parents, not parents, obey your children. Not let your children do whatever they want to do. Wrong answer. We are teaching young people to be the rebels and teaching them to be the anti-government, anti-right. San Francisco just today came out and said that they have now put the NRA on the terrorist list. If you are a member of the NRA, you are now considered a terrorist in the city of San Francisco.
Amen.
Woo! Put, sign me up. Just like Walmart said, they're going to quit selling ammunition and handguns. And Walmart's going to hurt themselves because there's going to be a lot of people stop shopping there. Not just because of the guns, but not just in the hunting section, but the whole stupid place. Now, hang on for a second. I'm not going to protest them, but I'm not going to promote people like that. Where does it start? This idiot, what's her face? AOC, Cortez chick, opens her mouth, this hurricane. That's what climate change does right there. Hurricanes have been going on for 7,000 years. And if somebody can't figure out that you're on an island in the middle of Hurricane Alley, that every once in a while that you're not going to get plastered, something's wrong with you. Don't get mad at everybody else because a hurricane sat on top of your house. I'm sorry. You're the ones that built your house there. Now, I'm sorry for it. I think people can get some help. I'm for that. But you live with water all the way around you in the middle of a hurricane alley, and you don't expect any destruction of any kind. Something's not right with this picture here. And you expect the whole world to bail you out? Everybody doing okay? So a leader should give strength to the followers. That, okay, let me give you a historical illustration. Henry Ford built the Ford Motor Company Corporation, Ford Motor Corporation. As Henry Ford started succeeding, he became very successful financially. Do you know what he did at the end of every year as he became more and more successful? He started something called profit sharing. So he took a portion of the company's profits and he invested it back into the workers and said, look, you worked so hard this year, I'm going to give you a bonus, and it's called profit sharing. It started with Henry Ford. If your company does that, it was because of Henry Ford. That was because he's the one that started the hourly wage. Workers were work; they would train them for 3 months in the Ford Motor Company assembly line. Then they'd go to some other factory because they couldn't keep them. So he paid everybody double and said, look, I'll pay you every hour you work for me. This is how much I'll pay you. People were leaving the other places to come work for him. Then he started giving these profit-sharing bonuses at the end of the year. The other companies had to start doing things like that in order to keep their workers. He figured if he did that, he could keep the best of the workers and train his own workers and keep them longer and be more productive. He said, I have more money than I can spend. Let me put it back in the people that gave me what I have. Do you know what the price of the Model T was based off of? A year's wages. It was so that a man could work and pay for one of those vehicles. It was the common man's car. It was the only one available, too, with no roads. Now, I got to hurry. Number 6-7. The leader should be the servant of the follower. The leader should be the servant of the follower. Did not Jesus say, "The greatest of these shall be your servant"? Now watch this. As a leader serves, he convinces the followers of his sincerity, his love, his concern, and his willingness and ability to lead. The more I serve you as the people of this church, the more convinced you are I can lead you. If you've ever been to a church where the pastor did not serve you, you were not convinced of his leadership. If you ever went to a church where it was all about how much does the preacher get versus how much will he give? Y'all doing okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now hang in there. As a leader serves, he shows his loyalty to those who follow him. A leader should serve his followers because it's his work. Now watch this. If he serves those who follow him and do his work with him, then they will have the same passion to do his work that he built it with. See, it's my job, not just as your preacher, but to share the passion that I have for the Lord's work with you. If I serve with you and I serve you with it, you're more apt to follow my leadership and serve him with the same passion I have. Does that make sense to everybody? That's true in a secular job too. That's true in a home. Children, if you would learn to follow your mom and dad, teenagers, if you'd learn to follow your mom and dad, maybe you'd find out why they're so passionate about what they're passionate about. Some of you think you got the whole world wrapped up around your finger, but you didn't realize it's up your nose. Brother Hiles used to say it this way: I will use my work to build my people. I will not use my people to build my work. I have tried to live that statement. I will not use this you to build this church. I'll use this church to build you. I asked Brother Josh, he had a project this week, and I asked him to do something with it, and he kind of looked at me. He did it. I asked him to get somebody to help him do something. He said, "You do know I could have done that." I said, "Yes, sir." But that person needed something to do. And I wanted that person to get close to you so that you can help them in other areas down the road. Oh. Gotcha. It was something simple, but that's where things start. You see, a wise leader takes care of the fruit trees. He doesn't just sell all the fruit and pocket the money. You don't just pocket the money, you take care of the trees with it. Everybody doing okay? I got to be done. It's 2 minutes till. No follower has a right to demand that a leader do all of these or that they do them all well. Leaders, let's not allow our pride to hurt those who want to help us succeed. Why in the world do we want to criticize those who are there to help us succeed? I believe in loyalty. But loyalty goes from the top down, not just from the bottom up. I believe in serving with passion, not just from the bottom up, but from the top down. If we would all learn how to serve together, we could... Who cares who gets the credit? It's not just about a title. It's about getting the work done and done right and done God's way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let me ask you a question. How's your leadership going? How are you doing as a leader with your followers?